Drinking the cup.
So if the water genie told Harun about the ocean of the streams of story, and even though he was full of a sense of hopelessness and failure, the magic of the ocean began to have an effect on Harun. He looked into the water and saw that it was made up of 1,000,000,001 different currents, each one a different color, weaving in and out of one another like a liquid tapestry of breathtaking complexity. And if explained that these were the streams of story, that each colored strand represented and contained a single tale. Different parts of the ocean contained different sorts of stories, and as all the stories that had ever been told, and many that were still in the process of being invented, could be found here, the ocean of the streams of story was in fact the biggest in the universe. And because the stories were held here in fluid form, they retained the ability to change, to become new versions of themselves, to join up with other stories, and so become yet other stories. So that, unlike a library of books, the ocean of the streams of story was much more than a storeroom of yarns. It was not dead, but alive. And if you are very, very careful, or very, very highly skilled, you can dip a cup into the ocean, if told Harun, like so. And here he produced a little golden cup from another of his waistcoat pockets, and you can fill it with water from a single pure stream of story, like so, as he did precisely that. And then you can offer it to a young fellow who's feeling blue, so that the magic of the story can restore his spirits. Go on now, knock it back, have a swig. Do yourself a favour, if concluded. Guaranteed to make you feel A number one. Harun, without saying a word, took the golden cup and drank. He found himself standing in a landscape that looked exactly like a giant chessboard. On every black square there was a monster. There were two-tongued snakes and lions with three rows of teeth, and four-headed dogs and five-headed demon kings and so on. He was, so to speak, looking out through the eyes of the young hero of the story. It was like being in the passenger seat of an automobile. All he had to do was watch while the hero dispatched one monster after another and advanced up the chessboard towards the white stone tower at the end. At the top of the tower was, what else but, a single window, out of which there gazed, who else but, a captive princess. What Harun was experiencing, though he didn't know it, was Princess Rescue Story number S/1001/ZHT/420/41RXI, and because the princess in this particular story had recently had a haircut and therefore had no long tresses to let down, unlike the heroine of Princess Rescue Story G/1001/RIM/777/MWI, better known as Rapunzel, Harun as the hero was required to climb up the outside of the tower by clinging to the cracks between the stones, with his bare hands and feet. He was halfway up the tower when he noticed one of his hands beginning to change, becoming hairy, losing its human shape. Then his arms burst out of his shirt, and they too had grown hairy and impossibly long and had joints in the wrong places. He looked down and saw the same thing happening to his legs. When new limbs began to push themselves out from his sides, he understood that he was somehow turning into a monster just like those he had been killing. And above him, the princess caught at her throat and cried out in a faint voice, "Eek, my dearest, you have into a large spider turned." As a spider, he was able to make rapid progress to the top of the tower. But when he reached the window, the princess produced a large kitchen knife and began to hack and saw at his limbs, crying rhythmically, "Get away, spider, go back home." And he felt his grip on the stones of the tower grow looser. And then she managed to chop right through the arm nearest her, and he fell.